this kind of disease, Corona, did not come to kill people as much as it has come to give people the life.
The Converging Paths podcast is sponsored by darkwoodbrew.org. Right now, Darkwood Brew is opening up its entire library, that's 28 series for progressive Christianity, to the public. It's just giving it away for free for 60 days because of this pandemic. They encourage you to go and sign up and get access to free online resources for personal study or for small groups. Right now, there are series up there like one of my favorites is Hope, A Pessimist's Guide. Use a little hope right now. Well, how about some, with a little help from guests like Scott Russell Sanders, Carrie Newcomer, Melvin Bray, and jazz great Bob Ravenscroft. Or there's another one that's dear to my heart. It's based on my book, Gifts of the Dark Wood. It's a whole series exploring the dark wood. You don't have to have my book to really enjoy this. The series is called Gifts of the Dark Wood and features people like, Brian McLaren, Diana Butler Bass, Parker Palmer, Winnie Vargasy, Semisonic's drummer Jacob Schlichter, Lillian Daniel, and Frank Schaefer. So go get it all for free, and let's ride out this pandemic together at www.darkwoodbrew.org. So when I came back from Spain 2 weeks ago, carrying unbeknownst to me the coronavirus, COVID-19, I managed to expose a number of people in my congregation to the virus. But because my congregation, Countryside Community Church in Omaha, Nebraska, sits on the Tri-Faith Commons, where a church, mine, and a mosque and a synagogue have all co-located to a 35-acre commons, well, we have a lot of exchanges together all the time because we're trying to move past interfaith dialogue into interfaith community. And so in the course of the 1.5 days I was in the office, managed to expose the senior leadership of the synagogue and the mosque, as well as a number of their congregation members, to the virus and put them in quarantine. Yeah. Not the prettiest scenario to have the privilege of being known as the person who simultaneously infected or exposed three major religions to the virus. Well, today I had the privilege of sitting down with one of those leaders in quarantine, Imam Jamal. We weren't in the same room, don't worry. But Imam Jamal Daoudi reflected on the nature of the virus and how he really gives an insight into how one Muslim leader sees the purpose and of the virus and how we can relate to it or respond to it faithfully and with courage and hope. So let's listen.
Well, I want to be more realistic as a Muslim imam in that reflection. And it may not necessarily fit with or be liked with many of your audience. But you know me, I would say what I want to say. First of all, I would like to say that this kind of disease, Corona, did not come to kill people as much as it has come to give people the life. It came to revive the self-conscious of human being. It came to show us how little and insignificant we are when we are comparing ourselves to the power of God, because we have been so much intoxicated with our technology and advancement to the degree that we start talking and acting as if we are, semi or sub gods on earth, whether in our minds and discoveries or whether in the way we treat each other. So that insignificant, that very small, tiny virus that cannot be seen by the mere eye is coming to tell us, I am the destiny of God, and I am coming to draw your attention to something bigger than me and you. And I'm coming to bring you back to life, to the normal life, because we are not living in normal life. There was a kind of call and writings from some people who have short knowledge of their faith and history, that they were trying to rejoice that this virus is hitting people who do not believe in God. Especially recently what happened with the China and the Muslim minority of Uyghur in China, and how they were persecuted and genocide. So some people were rejoicing on this, that they deserve, you know, those Chinese deserve what's happening. But when we look at the bigger picture, it is hitting people who believe, people who do not believe. Right. Muslims and non-Muslims as well, which means there is no one is getting out from that canopy that is called coronavirus, which means everybody is now on the boat. Everybody is is under that kind of hardships and tests. So for Muslims, this is a test from the bad news is that it is harsh, it is strong. It has been told in our scripture time after time after time. And in the other side, there is some good aspect of it, how we look at it, and I will come into that one. I would like just to share with you some of the verses that related to this topic. God said, "And indeed we sent our messages unto people before your time, O prophet, and visited them with misfortune and hardship so that they might humble themselves and pray." When they rejected the message in general, when they rejected the scriptures of God, when they rejected and ignored those teachings of God, God sent them the misfortune and hardships so that they might humble themselves and come back to Him. And under that context, coronavirus is not a punishment as much as is a turning point and drawing our attention that we need to fix our, you know, way back to God.
An invitation of sorts.
Invitation. And part of why we are in that panic and hysteria kind of behavior is that we are misusing our social media. The information and the wrong and the right information have been spread so fast without verification, and we people who are using that social media, we have been a factor in spreading the wrong information for any reason. And that caused people to fear, caused people to panic, caused people to run to the grocery stores and clear the shelves. And I don't know where is faith in that kind of behavior. We are relying on the toilet paper and the grocery stuff rather than we are relying on our belief in God and using what you can only use and share the rest with people.
Are you suggesting that if we have faith that those things won't run out then, or?
It won't run out that much, meaning I could pick up something for my next few days or my next week and allow others to pick them up too. But to stack things in our homes, thinking that this is the end of the world, that is not a concept of faithful people. That is not a practice of faithful people, regardless what religion and what faith we are talking about. We share our kids from the early of their kindergarten and preschool the concept of share. But when it comes to the test, we are the worst example in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife and I are just commenting about that. Like if all the food were to run out, what would happen, but and it was really clear to us that it's our community connections that are far more valuable than how much food we have on the pantry stock. Because I mean, certainly if we had food and our neighbor was or somebody we knew was hurting, we would be emptying our shelves. And so the biggest safety net is our community, our connections with community, other people, so that we can all be leaning on each other. Somebody has a little more of this, somebody has a little less of this, and being able to, I mean, I think that's, if the bottom truly drops out, I mean, it doesn't matter how, I mean, that's what you have, is you have the people around you.
I'm telling you, I start getting some texts from people who are asking me if you know somebody who is in need, if it's somebody who cannot get out, we are ready to help. And praise the Lord that this is so much a good sense in the community. I'm talking about the larger community, the larger society. People panicking. I'm just wondering, how did their moms and grandmoms deal with themselves and with their children without napkins, without toilet paper, without others? How did they do it? Why we are so much spoiled that we want to rely on those kind of stuff and make or create the shortage in that way? So what if for 1 week we use the water instead of toilet paper? Water is available, it's not going to run out. So what?
Now that would have been really scary to me had I not been in India and actually practiced that. And it's a lot less horrible than people may be thinking. I could just imagine the.
Well, listen, it is the time and the chance to get ourselves ready for all scenarios, whether it is because of coronavirus or war or whatever. We need to be adjusted.
Yeah. So where do you find comfort in this crisis?
All right. In the self-reflection on where I am, what am I doing, what wrong, or what was the short in my life in the last year or so, and how I can improve it, number one. Yani, looking for my relationship with God, my relationship with people. Secondly, being cautious, being careful, following the regulations or the commands that's coming, the teaching that's coming from the CDC and the unreliable government, you know, trying, because they are the authority, and we have to follow the authority. We cannot just follow our common sense. They are the one liable to this. And thirdly, extending my hands to my congregation as a leader, and my friends and my individuals, what I can do for you, whether it is counseling, whether it's talking to them, cooling them down, or whether even bringing them some stuff. My true comfort is in this situation, as the Quran, our book, and the Prophet has so much emphasized on, in situation like this, you turn to God in supplications and prayer. Of course, not neglecting and leaving away all the ABC that we have to do. You secure yourself, you follow all the logic and good reason, the instructions, then you turn fully to God to take away that from the whole country, yourself, your families, all your community. It is not the way I'm watching what's going on. They used to say that life after 9/11 was or became so different than before 9/11. And maybe that has affected only United States more than others. I don't want to say only, but more than others. But here I can predict that situation and life after coronavirus will be way different in the whole world than before. Situation after will be way before than before.
Yeah. How do you think, when if you look ahead, I mean, obviously it's hard for any of us to really know, but what do you think, like if you see, I mean, I take it you see Allah's hand behind this and that, and what do you think, what is the life that we are being invited to reconnect with? What does that look like?
This is now coming to the good news, the positive points of this crisis. First of all, it has brought back the issue, the environment issue and the global warming issue and the climate issue back to the front line, back on the table, you know, immediately by stopping factories, transportations, airlines, maybe oil industries, everything that used to pollute and change and affect the climate. Indirectly, you know, indirectly, because we are still messing up a lot with that climate topic. So it brought back the issue of the climate and it forced us to be more sensitive now and as an immediate action to stop these things by force, not by choice or by regulation. And that will improve the climate, will improve the air, will improve the pollution. I mean, less the pollution, and will improve the human race by having better air, better water, better things. One, two, this crisis brought back the importance of cleanliness, our own practice.
Right.
You know, and it changed radically our behavior towards cleanliness, about washing hands, being careful what to touch, what not to touch, and using water and soap back again.
I've been thinking a lot about that, actually, Mom Jamal, about the Islamic practice of, you know, you with the Salat prayer, the 5 times a day prayer. I mean, you wash your hands 5 times a day, don't you?
At least. Yeah. In addition, Prophet Muhammad said, the blessing of your food is to wash your hands before and after.
Oh, that's good.
So, and that's without corona, without any virus. That's our regular practice. Yes. You know, not only hands, you wash face and arms. And so it reduces the potential being infected in any kind of germs of disease.
Yes. You know, I just went out. I've been wondering about my own community, if it would be helpful for us to, you know, download one of those apps that have the Salat prayer, you know, time that gives you an alert. And then literally that when that rings, we get up and we wash our hands and we pray whether they do your form of prayer or not, they get up, they wash their hands and they pray while they're washing their hands for their own health and the health of somebody else. We have two hands. So pray for one for you and one for somebody else. If we did that 5 times a day, I think that'd be a wonderful thing. It'd keep us connected, and we'd be doing this at the same time that your community is praying.
And pray the way you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pray the way you want. You know, another point, it brought back the importance of the fresh and healthy kind of nutrition and food. Mm. So less of eating outside with the fast food products and more of bringing vegetables and fruits and cooking yourself by your hand, for a reason that no more restaurant might be open. And the second is you are in a self-quarantine. And that will improve your immune system and that will improve your health and your body's reaction to the virus and to any other things, because eating outside is disaster.
Hmm. Well, you're not gonna appreciate this, but my dinner tonight was actually shipped to me by a friend from Kansas in a box. He knew I was in quarantine, and he shipped me Kansas City pork ribs. So You want to come over and join me?
It's better take it off, you know, when you edit this one. Another concept, and I'm not trying to take advantage of, you know, me being a Muslim to speak about how much Islam took those precaution measures 1441 years ago. But it brought back one of the concept that Muslims, you know, do it for a long time. Less mixing with strangers. Less mixing with strangers. Keeping a good distance. Not shaking hands with the different genders. You know, for some of our sisters who dress the kind of more conservative headscarf that is called niqab, that covers, you know, over their nose. It is like using the mask, you know.
Maybe we should all go be using that.
No, what I'm saying that these things that used to be nonsense for some people at some times, now it is, oops, we are doing this now. We are not shaking hands, we are doing this, you know.
Holding your hand to your heart.
Yes, to your heart or to your chest, out of respect, you know. We are the washing hands that you spoke about. And brought back the concept of being more mature as a community, as a big society, to act in maturity now. And that will reduce the potential of less infected people and more of healed and recovered people, because we are acting now as a community under teaching, under discipline, following rules more and more. In this whole world, the concept of free and freedom to do what you want, to eat what you want, to whatever, that is a big, you know, reprehension, a clear reprehension from God, that you need to use your mind and you need to look at others also benefit in what you are doing.
You know, I think that's where Islam actually provides a very helpful corrective to my own Christian spirituality, because we get, you know, we focus so much on, you know, the freedom in Christ, and we're and we are free from the law and so forth. And I think and sometimes Christians can be a bit more libertine than they're not actually taking the true meaning of those words seriously, and they just kind of think that translates into that the law kills, then we're free from it, that we do whatever the heck we want. But Islam is really helpful in reminding us about the original meaning of those words, because you remind me that there is no true freedom without submission, no true freedom without submission to God.
Yes.
And then therefore seeing yourself in relation to a larger thing, which includes God and also the community.
All right. And I want to comment on your statement. I would like to say that following what you said, Islam fill up the gaps that have been missing in the previous messages, because it still preserve and secure the teaching of God as it revealed without any interference from a human being. So it is not a faith that was imported or landed from the moon or from Mars. It is a continuation of what Jesus was told and Moses was told and Abraham was told. But it has, you know, right now, again, I don't want to take advantage of that. It is showing you exactly the common sense, and the benefit of a human being out of those teaching and messages.
Obviously, obviously we have different interpretations of the, you know, the source and all those things in the Quran. But I love that you're saying, though, that Islam really does fill in some gaps, and to me, though, what's really helpful is it highlights things that are still in what I find in the heart of Christian faith. It's just that over time they've been misinterpreted or they've been let go of, and Islam, my experience of Islam is it brings me back to my true, you know, core Christian principles too. So
today Eric, today I watched a clip in a church. The pastor was asking and forcing people to shake hands with each other and hug each other. Yes, close your mouth.
Sorry, I just like my job just about fell to the ground.
They are in the safest. I will be fair with this. They are in the safest place with the Christ, and since they took the communion, nothing will hurt them. We have similar. Narrow-minded, stupid people who try to show their righteousness by the stupidity of their understanding, gathering themselves when the government in some countries closed the mosque, gathering themselves and praying as a congregational prayer at the front door outside the mosque, challenging the the rules of the government, and challenging that no, as a Muslim, as a righteous people, they will not be hurt. On each side, we will have such stupid people. So we need to create, we need to make a revolution in our three faith in order to come back to the root and the fundamental teachings of each one. And this is a wake-up call from God. If we are not going to take it that way, we are going, a human being are going to be the worst virus on this planet. Corona will come and go, but we are staying, our children are staying, if we are not going to change the way we think and the way we act and the way we practice our faith, we will be the reason for the full destruction of the whole planet, and we will invite the day of judgment sooner than later.
Bottom line, what does this coronavirus mean to you?
It has raised the importance of the belief in the day of judgment. That there is a day of judgment where we will all be responsible on what we have done. And it has increased the necessity to come back to God, making a U-turn or using the reverse and go back to God, who was and is and still asking us for three main principles that can be applied on every human being. Number one is justice, practicing justice, enforcing justice, supporting justice, and removing the injustice and abuse of people. Two, to rebuild this earth, this planet, in a good way. And I'm talking about materialistic earth, and build the planet society in the best way and the most common sense way. And number three, not to be so much attracted and attached and to the degree almost relying and worshiping the positions and the money and the fortune. All this has collapsed, and people at the end did not turn to the celebrity with their millions, did not turn to their football players or the singers or the actors. They turned to the scholars and the scientists whose income is way, way less than those other celebrities. And that is not common sense, and that is not fair. Everybody now is looking for those research labs, physicians, who are making way less than those celebrities and others. With all due respect to everybody, but that is reality and the fact that we need to recognize.
That makes a lot of sense to me. May those days come soon where we begin to put into practice exactly what you've said. That's very insightful, Jamal, Imam, and I appreciate your coming on the Converging Paths podcast to share your ideas and your thoughts. This is very helpful. Thing we could just, if our listeners want to pray for you or your congregation, if there's one thing we can do for you?
Well, just praying together to the Lord of Moses and Jesus and Muhammad to remove that hardships and take that disease away from us and bring us all back to him, the easy way and the soft way, not the hard way.
Beautiful. Well, we can do that. And maybe I'll be joining you when you are praying today, tomorrow. And I'm going to try. I've got my slot timer, and I'm going to have it notify me. So when you're praying, I'll be washing my hands and praying as well in my own way. So even the early one, I'm going to try the early.
Very appreciated. Thank you very much.
Well,
wa alaikum salam. All the good wishing to you and to the community. Bye-bye.
Thank you. If you'd like to try praying like I'm going to try in the next coming days and weeks, perhaps, try downloading one of these Salat timers. They give you the time of day that the Muslims are all across the world gathering in or sequestering themselves to do their prostration prayers. I use one called Al Salat. That's ALSALAT. There's others ones out there. Just download one on the App Store or what have you, wherever you get your apps, and try doing that. Whenever you hear the notification, get up, wash your hands, and pray for somebody. You've got two hands. Pray for yourself on one hand and somebody else on the other hand, and give it a good 20 seconds at least. Let's make this a spiritual thing, not just simply a sanitary measure we do, and let's find out how it works for all of us. So give it a try. Music for Darkwood Brew is provided by Nomaly Brennett, and we're going to once again play out with the full version of her Dark Wood.
In the middle of the forest, under the shadows of the trees, I had wandered through the darkness until the way was lost to me, but it was there I heard a calling, and it was there I found belief, and it was then that I found courage in the hour of my need. And I walk on foot with a faith trust to God. Stumbled upon